Talking with Sue Wilson, Executive Director of WeLift. And Sue, I just wanted to talk about some big picture before we start thinking about the Warren County and Marion County and surrounding areas situation. But I know we've talked over the last couple of years about food insecurity, job insecurity, and everything's so linked. I know people think, oh, hey, someone lost their job and they're behind on a couple bills, so they should take advantage of a food bank. And yes, that is the case sometimes, but I just think it's way more complicated than maybe we all realize. And just what's the current state of where we're at right now locally in terms of the economy and those in need of help?
Yeah, well, you pose some really, really hard questions. Unfortunately, right now, what we are seeing is just the spiral that happens when our set income is too low for critical survival. So we recently participated in a study with Courtney Cooperman out of Washington, D.C., where we learned that in Indianola, Iowa, to afford a two-bedroom, one-bath apartment, you have to make at least $1,681 an hour, and that is with 30% of all your income going to housing. In the same breath, we are in a housing crisis. We don't have enough workforce housing. We don't have enough housing for the people that really serve our community, which would be, you know, those that are in our restaurants, those that are our associates at the schools, you know, those that work front desk at customer service positions. So our housing really, really is a significant issue that we need to start addressing, the right type of housing. But it's important to say that this isn't just specific to Indianola. We're just seeing it across the board with housing. So the big picture is we got to figure out a way to really start looking at the intersections between the working class and what it costs to rent, what it costs to own, what it costs for food on the table, what it costs, what's our baseline income that's coming in, and really working our way through that. You know, WeLift has done a lot of research and study and participates in a lot of panels and conversations, and a lot of the research shows towards those experiencing homelessness, living in their cars, it's really not a mental health substance abuse problem, it's a lack of housing. And so we're seeing wait lists across the state in our family shelters, in our individual shelters. So food insecurity is definitely a big part of this, but, you know, as social service providers, we have to start asking the bigger question as to where is the root cause at, and how do we continue to empower people to do better?
I wanted to ask just your thoughts, and I know the answer to this, but I know the phrase "nobody wants to work anymore" has been bandied about, and I think what the issue is more, and you alluded to this, is, you know, people want to work for 40 hours and then be able to have a home or have a place to live. And I know WeLift deals a lot with people trying to retrain themselves and get back into the workforce. But that's where we at right now, is people want to work for the most part, but be able to sustain themselves, correct?
Correct. So, you know, we're running into an issue that we're seeing across the board, is we have people that come into WeLift that have worked for organizations in this community for 10, 15 years at 38 hours. And all of a sudden they're being cut down to 20 hours a week, while that same company turns around and puts up hiring signs. So there is something going on in the Department of Labor landscape as to why are we bringing in so many part-time and not hiring people at full time anymore. And people say, well, Sue, that's easy, it's insurance. No, people that work 32 hours a week are still not getting insurance, but their hours are still being cut. And these are some of our big employers in town. And so we are full. WeLift served over 188 people since in the last 6 or 8 months. And these are people that are getting second jobs, third jobs, because they can't, you know, there are not a lot of full-time, full benefit positions out there available that are local, where they don't have to drive, or if they have a transportation problem, work around that. And so the thoughts that there's a lot of people sitting home being lazy, are there some of those people? Absolutely, right? Will there always be some of those people? Absolutely. Are there a handful of people looking for jobs every single day? Yes. The online systems that these companies have gone to, where they apply online, we are finding that is really not beneficial. We have a lot of people that are better off to grab their resume that we create from and walk in and hand it to a manager. So I think the online system has slowed down hiring an awful lot as well. And so over 50% of the people we serve are working, are bringing in already income. And so there's a lot of different factors that play a role into that. But there's also kind of different expectations, I think, in some of our companies now, and them cutting hours and then rehiring is an interesting concept.
I want to go back to a point you talked about earlier about homelessness. I think there was the stigma that there was a lot of mental health issues. There was a lot of substance abuse issues. And I'm not naive enough to think that all those are gone and there's still that going on. But the people who are homeless who aren't dealing with that, just walk me through what it's like. And I know that WeLift did kind of a demonstration of this either last year or the year before. When you miss a bill and you're kicked out of your house or apartment, it's near impossible to get back on track. Even if you are working, it just sets you back so far.
Yeah, you know, you would really be surprised the amount of people that get up and go to work every day after couch surfing. So just laying on a friend's couch for that night and then waking up and trying to figure out where they're going to sleep the next night. We have a fair amount of people sleeping in their cars and getting up and going to work. Again, homelessness is a housing problem, right? And so if we had some transitional supportive housing where we can put the mom that just lost her husband and he was the one that paid all the bills, right? She's always stayed home. That's one that we see a lot. We see one where somebody, an income producer in the family, goes away because of an issue or because of something that maybe that family didn't see coming. So there's a lot of different situations that presents itself, but we've got to find a way to get people in housing that they can afford and they can keep. And that really, that's not really in our wheelhouse. I don't know all that as far as city development and management and stuff like that. But if you really, really study homelessness, that was one way that the United States, now we still have a lot of veterans that aren't taken care of, but when we decided to house them first, their population of homelessness did decrease significantly. So there are, we've seen in past history, you house people and the rest will slowly fall into place. But you cannot expect somebody to hold a job, expect kids to go to school, expect the bills to be paid if they're living in a car and trying to work.
I was going to ask, what are some of the biggest hurdles for those either looking to re-enter the workforce or find a different job? What are some of the biggest challenges right now for maybe I haven't worked, like you mentioned, I my provider has left and I need to provide for my family now. Some of the biggest hurdles that people are going through right now trying to re-enter the workforce?
Well, I think in Indianola and Warren County specifically is transportation, right? We have limited employers here and we have limited skill based employment here. If somebody's got the skills to want to do Amazon, if somebody has the skills that looking into union work, that the majority of that stuff is out of Indianola or out of Warren County. So is their transportation reliable, right? That's one of the biggest things. We have so many people that come in and they say, hey, I'm working in West Des Moines, but my car broke down and it's a $900 payment and that's rent. I can't do both, right? And so that's where one of the adjustments WeLift has made is our compassion fund, right, where we can come in, work with our local businesses and say, hey, WeLift's going to come in and pay this first $350 on this car payment, and then put the client on a car payment with the certain business, and so they can get their car fixed and get back to work, right? So a huge hurdle is transportation. If they're going to try to pursue a job outside of Indianola and the local area, we have to be able to find a way to secure their transportation. Another thing is we have some people that want overnight hours because of their living situation. You know, they might be where dad works during the day, the kids go during the day, dad can be at home. So the second income producer needs an overnight job, you know, such as a hospital setting, you know. So there's certain things that people are coming in looking for that may take them out of our local area. So, there's a lot of jobs, but a lot of them are not your great hours either. So if you've got a single mom, a single dad that is looking for, you know, 25 hours a week, they can't make 3 p.m. till 10 p.m. work because of kids, right? And so, daycare is a huge limited one as well. I was at a conference about, probably 16 months ago that said, the state of Iowa leads the nation in the number of parents that are in the workforce that have children under the age of 6. So really, with that statistic, we should have childcare centers all over the place, because our parents are going to work. They're not staying home. So, you know, you also have to look at that. Is there childcare available? Are there childcare available for our residents that are applying for jobs that have kids under the age of school?
Another thing I wanted to ask, and I'm going to lean on your expertise both on the Indianola School Board and in your job, is this affects the kids who often can't do anything to control it. And there's a lasting impact on that, seeing the struggles, being homeless, being not having the things that many of your classmates can have. And I know that there's not really, if there was an easy answer to it, I'm sure we would have done it. But talk about some of the lasting impacts that can have on students, and just that in uncertainty that can lead into life.
Well, I think what we're seeing is definitely when we've got disruptions in the home, such as intense situations, not being able to pay bills, kids overhearing conversations about financial hardships, they really internalize those things. And then that can dictate their behavior at school. What we teach our clients here is every single behavior is a form of communication. So if we have a third grader acting out, what's going on in home? What's going on at the home? So behavior is a big indicator. Another one is literacy, right? Like, are they getting the time with books? Are they getting in the time in being able to learn how to read, right? Kids that are cold, tired, hungry, exhausted, they just don't function well, right? And those bring up different behaviors. And so, are we seeing changes in behavior patterns in the elementary kids and the middle school kids? Absolutely. Are we seeing more kids trying illegal substances earlier? Yes. Are we doing the best we can to teach kids healthy coping strategies? Giving them tools to be able to use in the classroom and at home for when they feel that stress coming on. And, that's in Indianola School District added a second school resource officer this year for the middle school to really kind of help guide some of these conversations with our adolescents as to what is the real behavior and the emotion behind what is going on. We've looked a lot at training our teachers in the trauma-informed care. How do we work with kids that have impacted some of this. Our new superintendent, Superintendent Paul, works very closely with Chief Shear in the police department as a handle with care situation. If we know, if we lift gets a notification that something happened in a household over the evening, we know that a parent lost their job, we know that they came into WeLift looking for rental assistance, eviction notices, we can contact the schools, and Superintendent Paul can then work with their teachers to say, hey, we need to handle these kids a little bit carefully, and if we have a behavior change in them, this is probably one of the root causes, right? So it's constantly working together as partners in making sure our community really functions as a whole instead of these little small siloed situations.
Well, last question before we let you go is, and I know we've talked about this for years, but the stigma of asking for help and how hard it is to overcome that, whether it is food assistance, whether it is job assistance, whether it is help from your friends and family, it's not easy to be vulnerable. And I think everybody has that hang up, but your advice to someone who is maybe in need of help, but is having a hard time asking for help.
Yeah. So I would say my first bit of advice that we talk to everyone about, reach out sooner than later. Right. If you reach out and you have an electrical bill of $210 that you need help paying, we can do that. Right. It's the people that wait and wait 5 months later. And now we have a $1,200 bill that makes it harder for all of us to kind of come together and help support. And I think we live in a crazy world if we think not every single one of us have needed help at a certain time. It just looks different. Right? It just looks different. I may have asked for help, but I maybe reached out to a different support system than WeLift, than general assistance. But I think if we start to understand that we're all on the same team, right? And if we can get all of our families up to where they deserve, then we're just all going to flourish that much more. So we are in social services because we want to help and get people to understand that every single person deserves the utmost respect and integrity in everything they do. And so if we can step into the space of assistance, no matter what that looks like, and alleviate someone's stress, then we've done what we're supposed to do, right? Like, the basis of human connection is compassion, to take care of one of another, right? Like, that's what compassion really is seeing somebody suffering and stepping into that space. Right? Because if you step into that space earlier, their suffering is hopefully more short term than long term. And so I think if we continue to look with the wider lens of how can I serve someone today? And I think that's where WeLift comes from. We are just here to serve in whatever capacity that shows. And it is hard to ask for help, and it is hard to look at yourself and say, I can't do this right now. But that's why we are here. That is why, you know, we have the opportunity to serve you. And so we just want to make sure that when people walk in our doors, that they are given the integrity they deserve, and how we can direct them to just build them up and really empower them. Our job is to empower everybody towards self-sufficiency and help out along that path.